Everyone always says your money should work as hard as you do. But the thing is, with Eagle Bank's highly competitive deposit interest rates on money market accounts and CDs, your money doesn't even need to work that hard. From personal to business, Eagle Bank's flexible deposit terms help you hit financial goals in the short and long term. Stop by one of the DMV area locations or visit us online at eaglebankcorp.com to learn more. Member FDIC.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
Fight! Fight, 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 fight! How was that out there?
Fight!
Dude, it was like high school. People were yelling fight.
Can I do
it
for
was multiple.
Meow, 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 meow.
Taylor, we need a fight out of you.
I said multiple fights.
No, you gotta yell. Fight!
Fight, fight, fight,
fight, fight.
They're fighting.
That was nuts. It was for 20 minutes there, that was absolute chaos.
It was so tense.
Completely out of control.
It felt like anything could happen at any moment.
Dude, there were fans fighting.
I felt
that
like
was the wildest part, was when the fans started fighting.
Right.
All right, this is Redskins Talk Podcast. I am JP Finley. We are brought to you by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. All right, here's the bad news. We're stuck in Pete's hotel room because we got thrown out of, not thrown out, like there's a terrible, just to
evacuated
add.
Evacuated is the word you're
evacuated,
looking for.
Thank
evacuated,
thank you. I mean, just because today had to be crazier after all the fights, a massive thunderstorm came in. We all got soaked. All our media availabilities, when we usually do all our interviews, got thrown like into just utter chaos. No one did anything wrong. Just you can't control the weather. So here we are in Pete's room. Literally, I am on a bed sitting next to AJ and Pete. Mitch somehow got the nice chair. Taylor got a good chair.
Taylor, we rolled a chair in from a different hotel room just for him.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is a show.
That would have left over.
Like, for the record, when I came in, you two were sitting on the bed together, and this chair was wide open.
Well, because I was saving it for Taylor, to be honest.
Well, we didn't know who's more important.
All right, so here we are. RT, I'm setting you up. Give us the blow-by-blow of the biggest fight.
Okay.
How it all happened. Timeline.
Well, the first part of the timeline was, I'll go real quick with this, Johnson, right?
Yep.
Tremaine Johnson,
Jets.
Number 22 of the Jets, big money free agent cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
He it was playing 7-on-7, and Rob Kelly caught a short pass and was just kind of, you know, jogging. He wasn't even turning up field hard. And Tremaine Johnson delivered him a forearm shiver that knocked him to the ground.
So and, at know, the same time that happened, I was on the other side, yes, of the field watching O-line, D-line one-on-ones, and they were getting very chippy. Insecki got into it. Trent Williams then kind of went over to break it up, but kind of just shoved the Jets dude. Then Insecki and Trent did this, like, straight out of the WWE where you, like, you don't high-five each other. You, like, high armpit one another.
Yeah.
Like, you go, elbow, like, elbow to elbow. It's like a full-body thing. I don't really know how to describe it. But and then Brandon Scherff basically body slammed the dude. So, like, there was a lot going on before they even got to the 11-on-11.
Yeah. Okay.
And then 11-on-11.
Right. They go 11-on-11. So this is, like, the second play, I think, of 11-on-11. And it's a play. It's a wide outside run to Chris Thompson. He goes, he gets, you know, he's recovering from a broken leg. He's not wearing a yellow red jersey. He was not hit particularly hard or egregiously. But number 22, Tremaine Johnson, came over and kind of cheap-shotted Morgan Moses, who had swept over, had you know, pretty well stopped trying to block.
Right, the play was kind of over.
Yes. And I tell you what, I was probably 5 feet from where Moses hit the ground.
So when you say cheap shot, what
makes,
do you mean?
He makes a big, loud thump when he hits the ground, let me tell you.
He got popped in the
back.
So
did Johnson hit him up high and knock him to the ground,
yes,
from behind? Okay, I didn't see that.
And in the process, it aggravated his ankle injury.
Yep.
That he's been working all offseason to recover from.
And it aggravated him. And
it very much aggravated him.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And
he was aggravated.
Very much aggravated Trent Williams.
Trent Williams got aggravated, too. And he and so they got it. There was, it looked like it was going to end with just a little bit minor scuffle. But then it accelerated quickly.
Trent came over and basically took on the entire Jets.
Yeah. Trent was like talking to the Jets, like entire defense, and then all of a sudden just like really breaks out.
He threw a helmet. I don't think it was his because he was still wearing his. He threw a helmet that was on the ground. I don't know if it was a Jets helmet or Redskins helmet.
Did Brick throw
it away
trident?
From everybody just
threw
in frustration?
He didn't throw
it at anybody.
If that was a game, people were getting ejected, sure.
Yes.
And then it went, okay, this is like 10 feet from where the ropes in Richmond, right. And there are a lot of people there. It was packed because there are a lot of Jets fans there. And so it started going and it spilled over into
the fans.
Into the
it was
fans.
Like a little bit Malice of the Palace type.
Dude.
Like, involving
you know,
fans.
And I was talking to Brian Mitchell about it, and one point was that
Mitch may join us in this hotel
instead of getting away from it, some of the fans were staying there in harm's way, large athletes swinging at each other, holding their cameras up to make sure they got a good shot.
Everybody wants
they want the Instagram
want
to get
videos.
Social
right.
on, go
Gotta
viral on social.
I'd be there.
Well, you're a cameraman.
Well, you're a cameraman.
And you're also big and can handle it.
Okay. But some of the fans were kind of stuck in there because the tarps are
yes,
on the sideline.
You know what? They're not supposed to let them stand in front of the tarps.
Well, they were.
They
it
were.
Was packed, and then the rumble kind of rolls into the stands.
A few feet. It wasn't. Right. It wasn't like it went up on the hill or
it
anything.
Looked,
but
it, for a second, it looked like it could have been a very ugly, dangerous
been.
Situation.
Yes.
By and large, I think any real trouble was avoided. I haven't heard otherwise. If I'm incorrect on that, I apologize. But like, I don't know. You know, there was no medical people that had to respond. I didn't see.
You know, and
it
all you
like
really had, but you know, they had the ambassadors who were right. know, guys like in in the shape that I'm in, roughly. They did have officials there. They had the referees there.
I didn't see any officials trying to break it up.
They were kind of
they were helpless.
They were trying to because I saw one official. And he's standing around three guys, and their shoulder pads are in his ear.
Well, like, what's he going to do? Throw a flag?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Gonna
they
do?
Were throwing the flags, but like,
good practice.
Well, it's funny because off to the side, you saw Jordan Reed, and it looked like he was like about to square up with somebody for a second, and then like they both look at each other and they're like, "We're wearing helmets. Like, right. What the hell am I going to do to you?"
If I was Gruden, I would go over and tackle Jordan Reed. If
at which point, though? All right, so that was the biggest fight, right?
That's
that kind of fell into the into the fans. But at that point, we look up, and there's two fans fighting in the crowd.
Yeah.
This one dude is, like, chasing this other dude.
Right.
I hear one of the kind of the Redskins officials, like, we need police at the 50-yard line on the fan side. Like, it was – in that moment, you had – because there were a lot of Jets fans there.
Yes.
Like, it was very hard to know what the hell was going to happen.
A volatile situation.
It was volatile. It was volatile. It was a powder keg. All right. So then they finally get everybody back together, right? And – there's another play, but at this point, Moses is limping a little bit. He's off to the sideline, and he's not going back in. It's very obvious.
No.
And they run a play, and it's like, whatever. You can feel the tension still going on. Then you look over, and Morgan just took off running onto the Jets sideline to go after, I assume, I don't know if it was Tremaine or who it was, but he ran over there going after somebody, and then another fight started on the far side.
Yep. Yeah, it was like a mini scuffle, relatively.
And what's
but
weird,
it was,
still
it was mini compared to the other one. But Morgan is not that dude. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Pete.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
Morgan is a calm, chill, good dude.
Yeah.
For him to run over to the opposite sideline, something really pissed him off.
And then meanwhile, on the far field.
Yeah, there's just a normal practice going on with the Redskins defense and the Jets offense.
Yeah.
I'm sure Swearinger's over there like, damn it, I wish I could be involved in this, but I have to cover Terrell Pryor. All this is happening, and Terrell Pryor's not even involved yet.
I know. It's it was something, and like we said a couple times, it just seemed very volatile a few times that it really could have gotten out of control, and people could have gotten seriously hurt.
It's only day one. They're right. supposed to have 3 days of practice.
And then a game.
And then a game.
All right. Up or down vote, no wiggle room. Is there a third day of practice between the Redskins and the Jets?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, whether the Jets came here, what are they going to do?
That's true.
After the big fight with the Texans, they just split up and did their normal practice with the Jets. Yeah, I mean, with the Texans on
split
one field.
Okay.
Redskins on the other.
I could see
so
that happening. I think tomorrow there's absolutely more fights.
You also heard some big names from the Redskins talk after practice about, like, you know this is going to happen. Like, you can't put two teams together for practice right. with no consequences and think that this isn't going
to
happen.
Right. So to that point, we have an interview with Rob Kelly that's going to come up after this where he talks about it. And we had an interesting debate going here. How are they able to control this on the field? You don't see this in games at hardly at all. Occasionally there's a fight, but really there aren't. And how
certainly
do they
not three or four within about a span right. of 5 minutes?
How do they control it in a game that they can't on a practice situation? And I want everybody to answer it. And my thought is, in the game, there's real repercussions. You get penalties, guys get ejected. It hurts your team from winning, and ultimately, that's the biggest priority is winning the game. So I think that's why you don't see it in games, Mitch.
My point was just that everybody has a different level of playing to the whistle. You know. The team's coach, you know, are all the players are coached to play to the whistle. You know, one guy takes three steps longer, lets up right before the whistle blows, and all of a sudden a little forearm shiver knocks Rob Kelly to the ground and everyone's up in arms, whereas should Rob have kept running or should the other guy have pulled up, it's up in the air, and so you end up with a situation where both guys aren't quite sure what to do.
Okay, well, how about this? How about, you know, I mean, you can't fine somebody for conduct detrimental to the team. And the coaches need to say beforehand, hey, you know, we're filming all this. If you're found starting a fight, you know, for no reason, that's $15,000.
Pete, you got one?
I'm just looking at the email that the team sent out when they first announced the joint practices, and it's kind of funny. Todd Bull says, it'll be a nice change of place for our players to face another team. We'd like to thank the Redskins for having us. Hopefully we can help prepare each other for the upcoming regular season.
Well, and here's the tough part is that they did get some good work in.
Well, and also, it's very fun to talk about fights. This is the Fight Podcast. I love that we're doing this, even though it's in my hotel room. There's like 900 people in here.
A lot of dude in here.
But like, if we want to go wet blanket here for a second, those were valuable reps and stuff that they had to kind of waste with the fights. Is that a thing?
That's one of the things Rob Kelly talks about is he doesn't want fights because he needs the work. He wants the reps. And I think a lot of people, you know, are bothered by – Rob says, he's like, man, every 2-3 snaps, we got a wrestling match, like pushing and shoving. One thing that's important to point out, Morgan Moses was okay. I think he tweaked his ankle a little bit, was probably in pain, but it's not a big-time injury.
Yeah, I think it just kind of took him by surprise that he didn't expect to be hit. Wasn't really braced for it, but yeah, I mean, if his ankle can't take that, he needs to, you know, his ankle isn't in good enough shape to play a game.
Who has the worst ankle, JP or Morgan Moses?
I haven't
constantly
had
beat up both of them.
I haven't had surgery recently.
Good point.
All right, have we covered the pod? Is there anything else?
The fight.
The fight, rather. Pardon me. I don't know what Mitch is doing. Mitch, what are you doing?
I'm just doing work while we're potting.
All right.
Killing two birds with one stone.
You know, a lot of those guys are like, man, it's just football. It's not a big deal. And I asked Rob that, and I pretty much don't think it's a big deal. Taylor, is it a big deal?
I guess my point of view is if it could have been a big deal, if it was that close and
it was very
someone
close.
Forefinger an inch apart to being something where spectators could have gotten injured, I think – yeah, it was a big deal.
If spectators had gotten hurt and it could have happened, right?
It didn't,
but it could have.
I'm surprised it didn't.
Right.
Then you have a major, major problem.
Right.
Or a Redskins or Jets player could have gotten hurt. And
right. But Morgan Moses kind of did. Yeah. He's okay. But like, imagine if Morgan really twists his ankle in that game and he's out a month in that fight. I mean, then you got a real problem.
I mean, Morgan did walk out of practice a little bit early.
No, he left.
Yeah. So did Ty.
Yeah. I think PR said what about Nsekhe? All right, AJ gets to talk.
He aggravated a lower extremity.
What is this new NHL shit that they're doing?
Capitalizing it up
right
now.
Although with Ty, because it's like a core injury that he's been dealing with, it may be hard to actually describe the specifics.
They were looking at his left knee when they were coming
That's off. A lower extremity.
That is a lower extremity.
Okay. I think we've covered the fight. It was chaotic, man. My mom was at practice, and I texted her. I was like, be careful, seriously. And she responded, I hate to admit it, but everybody loves a good rumble, which
she's right.
Right on brand for my mom.
It was cool to see Jordan Reed, Trent Williams just policing things. Trent Williams is a beast.
Trent is a beast, undeniable.
We've talked many times over the years about if you were in a dark alley and had to be
– He's the one.
Had to have well, five guys from the team or whatever, who would they be? Trent is everybody's number one.
That fight today is significantly worse if Niles Paul is still on the team. Not worse. Significantly
bigger.
Bigger. Yeah, bigger. Yeah. Niles was always the dude in the middle of that kind of stuff.
Should we talk about the football practice?
Yeah. Then? So, I mean, we can almost just go to one thing, or it's tough. I had a good podcast topic. I wanted to we had this debate last night, kind of continuing off Pete's one thing from yesterday, talking about the drop-off in talent from Geist to Kelly and Piron. And Pete's point was valid. It is a drop-off. It is an issue. But I don't think it is. So the conversation last night over dinner kind of turned into, all right, who is more valuable to this team than Geist? Like, who would it be a bigger deal if you lost? And depending on the person, I think you can go down. To me, I think I can name 10 people more important than Geist.
I've written 17 that I'm pretty confident of.
Wow. And you were the one saying he was top bullish. Five important
so,
last night.
I didn't say top five. I said top 10, and then I thought about it more. So the list is definitely longer than I thought, but I'm still standing on the fact that the 17 I wrote down, if you lose these guys, I think it lowers their floor more. Your team would be a lot worse. Losing Geist, I don't think it lowers their floor, but I think it really cuts off their ceiling.
Okay. I think that's a fair point.
That was a very salient point, Pete.
Thank you. Do you want me to name 17, or do we not want to bog down the pod?
I don't think we need to. Okay. Taylor, do you want
to
name
17? It's the usual.
Roll through it.
Hold on. Taylor wants you to.
Without discussion, just roll through
it. Real quick, we did, before the season, Taylor did ask us to rank all the players.
He didn't ask me.
He did.
You didn't get to it.
You blew it off.
He didn't ask me.
In fact, myself and Rich were the only two that did it.
I did it, and my answer's didn't
wait,
save.
Wait, Pete
my
blew it off?
My spreadsheet didn't save.
Sounds like Pete blew it off.
And Rich and I had a significant discussion because I had Geist at 17.
I had him closer to 10.
I think you had him at 9 or 10 or something 10, like that. And so I was giving him the hard time about it because we had just gotten off our Rob Kelly.
Yeah,
go for it, Pete.
Okay, so real quick: Jonathan Allen, Zach Brown, Jordan Reed.
Is this in order?
Just the guys I wrote down: Allen, Brown, Reed, Josh Doctson, Paul Richardson, Jameson Crowder. Matt Ioannidis, is that one up for debate? I think Ioannidis losing him.
Maybe. I think they need – I said this the other day. Allen, Payne, Ioannidis, Settle are more important than Geist. Oh, the four of them getting 16 games.
The unit, yeah. All right, Kerrigan, Preston Smith, Josh Norman, DJ, Trent Williams, Morgan Moses, Brandon Sheriff, Daron Payne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex Smith and Chris Thompson. The only starters who I said are maybe – is I know B. Mitch said Chase Roullier is more valuable because he's
I
center.
Think she's Chase Roullier.
Okay.
Shocker, Mitch and the big men.
It's a shocker.
And then Monte was a maybe because
they
love what he does.
Yeah, when he went out, it was a big deal.
The only starters I'm confident in saying no is Sean Laval. I wouldn't rather lose in.
I tell you what, and we talked about this. The drop off, whatever you think the drop off is from Geist to Kelly / Piron.
Yeah,
the drop-off from Laval to whoever's coming in after him is a way bigger deal, and it impacts you on every play.
And it starts from a lower level.
Right, and it impacts you on every single play.
You go from low to low, low, low.
I do see that, but I do think I'd rather have the dynamic running back and the crappy left guard than the somewhat okay left guard and the not dynamic running back.
Better have Barry Sanders, dude.
And then Quentin Dunbar, but because I'm just thinking
same
maybe
thing.
Moreau
gotta,
or Scandrick. Got to
find out
step
more
in.
About him in a starting role.
All right, but it's a useful exercise, and
Mitch brought up an interesting debate I was wondering if we could have real quick.
Okay.
He thinks Rob Kelly can get to 1,000 yards this year.
Definitely. Yo, here's the thing. Every guard in the NBA, given the green light, can fill it up and can drop 50. That's just, you make it to the NBA, you're a guard, you can score 50 points. That's just reality.
Right.
Rob Kelly, if you stay healthy and you get the carries, you can get to 1,000 yards. Like,
Samaje
Perine rushed for 600 last year.
It's
Rob Kelly rushed for 709 games 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's only like 65-ish yards a game. So I did make a bet with Mitch about this, thinking that he wouldn't.
I'm not sure he will, but can he?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Mitch says he will.
The bet was that I said that I think that he does get to 1,000 yards.
I just think that there's going to be more of a rotation.
Barring injury.
But you know what that depends on a lot is?
Gruden.
You know, if you're a good to a lesser extent, the game situations.
Yeah.
You're going to pass 65% of the time trying to get the lead and then use the run game to try to save it. That's the main use of the running game. It's not trying to build up the lead. It's trying to hold on to the lead.
Well.
and then therefore
it's possible that was going to be different when Geis was still healthy, though. They were talking big, run first team.
Blah 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 blah. This is Jay Gruden we're talking about.
What's Sandler's
first rule?
Yes.
What's Sandler's first?
Don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do.
Is there? What's Thank the third rule?
Good setup.
The second rule is don't believe a player who's on their injury. What's the third rule? Do you have one?
I
kind of like.
You can't always get what you want, but you try sometimes.
They're so wise. They're so wise.
Get what you need. Isaac Newton.
Taylor's first rule of the Redskins. I think that was a useful conversation.
That was a very
where Pete's opinions were heard.
Thank you for hearing my opinions, gentlemen, and I look forward to
and
doing this.
And since he turned around to more
pilot.
Our point of view, I think it was very good.
I'm not coming around to it. I do think the list is longer than I thought, but I still think you guys are crazy.
And that would be coming around to us.
Oh, great. The cable just went out.
Oh,
this
no.
thunderstorm is killing me.
Killing
so
us.
Just so everybody knows, we're watching the PGA Championship. It's coming down to the wire. Get it on a computer ASAP.
Yep,
got it.
If there was video of this room right now, there are a lot of, like, fist pump, like silent fist pump.
Tiger just missed a par putt, which is going to hurt.
I gave Adam Scott the middle finger at one point.
There's a lot going on. All right. Want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. That's our squad. We ride with them. You should ride with them. Anything else before we go to Rob Kelly, boys? Oh, one thing. We forgot. Mitch, start. And the TV's back on. Good news.
Oh, let's go.
Bang, 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 bang.
You're up.
I know. One thing I'm going to go back to. I talked about Deron Payne the other day. I'm going to go back to him. Watching the D-line, O-line drills, he is so damn fiery and strong. He would beat one of the Jets O-linemen, and he would just turn around and start taunting them. Like, openly taunting
them. Did he punt any balls today?
He did not punt any balls today.
Damn it.
But
I'm sure that'll help with tomorrow's fights.
There was not a lot of fire between the Jets O-line and the Redskins
there
D-line.
There was plenty with the Redskins O-line and the Jets D-line.
Right. But I think part of that might be Spencer Long. He knows those guys.
Yeah.
I think he kind of keeps everything. But Deron Payne beat, 69, whoever the hell that is, on the Jets.
The fact that the Jets don't have names on their jerseys is really hard for us.
It's kind of lame.
It's annoying.
He beat some dude on the Jets, and the guy's on the ground, and Deron just turns to the entire Jets O-line that's lined up behind, and you just see his helmet going up and down as he's just talking to them. And the rest of the Redskins D-line has to go over and kind of pull him back. The side. I love that. I love that fire.
We need Deron Payne mic'd up. Just
seriously.
Make that
Didn't
happen.
You have Gruden mic'd up? How
we
was
had
it?
Gruden mic'd up today.
Was he mic'd up during the fight?
He was not mic'd up during the fight.
Dagger.
I didn't see
well,
him.
Guess what? The Redskins probably would not clear.
Yeah, that's true. That ain't making it. All right, RT, you're up.
I'm up. Jordan Reed out there in semi-contact.
Don't try to fight, Jordan.
11
Reed.
On 11. I did not think he would be here at this point.
Thompson, too?
And Thompson. But, you know, Jordan Reed made – you know, he is doing well. He's making some catches. You can see he's really getting his – the running 8 yards, and then whoever's covering him has no idea if he's going to break right or left. And he does it in an instant. And he's got – he's got 90% of that back at least. And, he probably could play against the Jets on Thursday, but I think we'll almost definitely see him play – in week 3 against the Broncos and to open the season. I think, and everybody knows when Jordan Reed's healthy, that could, it generally means he's headed towards another injury. But I think, at least for right now, you can have pretty good confidence that he'll be there to start the season and maybe get off to a good start, and we'll see what happens from there.
Well said. I had Jordan Reed on my list. Pete?
Yeah, if you want a good laugh, watch Jets players try to cover him in one-on-one drills tomorrow. Yeah. Make you giggle.
It's just impossible.
It's awful. Same with Crowder. Crowder was on fire. I was on the other field trying to watch the Redskins defense versus the Jets offense because I wanted to see what was up with Terrell Pryor, and there was zippy fireworks compared to what was going on. At one point, they threw a go route to him on the sideline. He caught it, and DJ would have murdered him in a real game and said – like was yelling to Jets players, I would have hit him in the gut. I would have hit him in the gut. But besides that, it was totally quiet. And I was kind of over there hoping to write a story about it, but there's nothing noteworthy. So my one thing is that all is quiet on Terrell Pryor front.
Right. And there already was a fight.
Yeah.
Or a number of fights.
Yeah. Two more days to go.
Sheesh. My one thing is Josh Doctson. Similar to Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson. Doctson was out there in 11-on-11s, made a catch. They ran a pretty cool play to Doctson. And we're not supposed to talk about play design, but – there's a lot of counteraction in this offense, and they use Paul Richardson in a variety of ways. It's pretty interesting, and I think Doxson looks like he is powering through the heel issue. He's got it taped up on
pretty
the outside
heavy,
of the shoe.
Tape, yeah.
And it looks like they almost have it like protected, like bandaged in case he gets kicked or something.
Yeah.
But he looked good. He was running good. Pete said he did real good in one-on-ones. I was watching the O-line, D-line. But, you know, when it matters, 11-on-11, he was out there. And that's the most important thing. Similar to Reed, similar to Thompson, Trent, Morgan, all these guys. All right.
One random thing I thought about.
Let's hear it.
In terms of, I know we talked about how the tight ends aren't great blockers. Doxson, Crowder, and Richardson can't be very good wide receiver blockers, probably, right? I guess we haven't seen much from Doxson in that. And we haven't seen Richardson because he's been in Seattle. But, like, I don't know if it's a big deal because they're out on the edge and a lot of your runs are up the middle. But,
because I was watching Doxson run a lot of outside zone.
Yeah.
And they run a lot of those screen passes where you need
right.
your receivers to do something. So
yeah, they don't have like Garcon or a big guy like Pryor last year.
Pryor didn't block. Deshaun didn't block. Well, I mean,
and the screen game was still real strong last year. So
well, and you know what helps that screen game is they have tackles that can run. Trent can run. Trent's wildly athletic.
Yeah, on the play that started the brawl, it was because Morgan was running on the outside of the Thompson toss and was ready to mow people down.
All right,
like
who
step
do we,
for step with Thompson almost.
Yeah.
Who do we ride with, Mitch?
Yo, our boy Bob Biagi and Orsman, all Orsman.
Orsman of Virginia.
Of Virginia.
Yeah, just Virginia.
We like other
Orsmans.
On to Rob Kelly. AJ, say something.
Whatever, everybody.
Here comes Rob Kelly.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
All right, I'm here with Rob Kelly. A very interesting day of practice today. Were you on the field during that big scrum out there?
I don't know. I forgot.
You didn't forget?
No, I don't know what happened.
What is your reaction when you see a big fight, scrum, whatever you want to call that?
I mean, it happens when you get two separate teams out here. I mean, going against basically strangers, everybody got their adrenaline going, stuff like that. And your first instance to help protect your teammates, stuff like that. But also, make sure nobody don't get seriously hurt. So, I guess trying to find that balance and chaos.
Is it the kind of thing you kind of expect that when you got two different teams going against one another?
I think everybody pretty much expects some type of deal to happen, but I mean, not to that magnitude, but something to happen. I mean, it's a little pushing and shoving or something like that.
Right.
Especially when you're looking forward to playing these guys in the next couple of days.
Am I wrong in thinking that it's not a big deal? Like, it's football, players get heated. To me, not that it's supposed to happen, but in this kind of situation, I don't think it's a big deal.
I mean, yeah, but at this point, I feel like everybody's trying to get their work and get up out of here. You know what I mean? Everybody trying to work, get better. I mean, you can't get better if everybody just every two, three players, you got a push and shoving going on. Now, if it's one, you handle it, you push it to the side and keep on going, that's different. But constantly, every single play is like you're not getting better at all.
Well, and then what about that deluge, man? It poured out here.
That didn't make anything better. I mean, we thought we got a hold of everything at the end of it, then the rain came down. It's like what we did today.
All right, well, the point of this interview was to talk about where you are now that Geis is gone. We had to clear up all the fight stuff to begin.
Yeah.
Where do you feel you are in this offense now that Darius isn't going to be playing this year?
I don't know where I'm at. I just come out here and get better. It's up to the coach at the end of the day. I mean, I can think what I want to think about how I'm doing and how I'm getting better and progressing. But if the coaches don't see it the same way, I mean, it's all up to them. So it don't make sense to even worry about it at this point.
So beyond that, how have you gotten better?
I got better as a pass catcher, trying to be more consistent in a pass pro and stuff like that, and also contributing to special teams. So I think I did a good job on those things this offseason and this camp.
Beyond cutting your hair, have you lost weight?
Yeah.
How much?
I can't recall. I know right now I'm at like 222.
So what did you do to lose the weight? Did you change your diet, lift weights more? I look different.
Yeah, I changed my diet, lift a little weights, and also I brought me a bicycle. I've been riding a bicycle every time I get a chance. So if I have all day, I go get like 10 miles. If I got a 2 days off, I get 20 miles in one day or something like that. But that really was the game changer in my diet.
The bike?
The bike.
You enjoy it?
No. I wouldn't lie to you.
My butt always hurts. It's the seat.
I got a new seat. Okay. So I brought the bike, and I brought like this little memory foam type seat, and that got me a backpack with the water in it. I was equipped.
Are you riding around? Where'd you spend most of y'all season? You're down in Louisiana? Okay.
Yeah, so I ride all through New Orleans. Start off at my house, ride. I live in the east, and I ride to the downtown New Orleans, then ride, probably try to make it uptown, but if I don't make it that far, stop at a family member's house, somebody like that, get something to drink, recoup, and then ride back home.
So are people really calling you Fit Rob now, or are you still Fat Rob?
I hear both of them. I think I hear Fit Rob a little more now, but some people still call me Fat Rob.
What do you prefer?
Fat Rob and then Fit Rob. But that would make them happy, man.
What makes you happy?
Being a part of this team.
Good answer. All right, we'll go quick because I know it's cold and wet. Word association. I'm going to say a player. You give me what comes to mind. We'll start with the guy right behind you, Jordan Reed.
Elusive.
Trent Williams.
Silverback.
Alex Smith.
Leader.
Jay Gruden.
Funny.
This is it. Last one. Look in the camera. Tell the Redskins fans what you want from them this season.
I want them to come out every day and show their full support every game and stand behind us 100% through the ups and downs.
Thank you for doing this. I know it wasn't an ideal situation. Yeah. Appreciate you, bud.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.